Isn't God good? Let's take our Bibles this morning. Did you bring your Bible? All right, take your Bible. Let's turn over to the book of James. Book of James, chapter 1. Hebrews, James, and then we get into 1st and 2nd Peter, John, Jude, Revelation. So stop at James. Stop at James chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. And it starts out and it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by his word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word and, Father, to be encouraged and challenged by your word. I pray that today, Lord God, that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, that we would hear what the Spirit is saying to us, to our hearts, Lord God. Father, that we would let the word of God begin to create in us what you purposed when you came to this earth. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now it starts out and it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted." How many have ever been tempted? All right. "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God." Now, I don't know if you've ever thought that before. But what we need to do is redefine the temptation. Now, I have heard many times that God does things to us, puts things in our life, bad things in our life, to cause us to grow, so that we'll learn how to work through these things. Well, now, you guys read the same Bible I did, didn't you? It said, no one can say, I am tempted by God, because God doesn't do that. How many realize that we serve a good God? And a good God does not do that to his children, any more than a good mother or father would do that to their children. They just don't do that. Now, some of you probably, hopefully not, but might have had experiences where you didn't have a good father and they did punish you for no reason or do things in your life to cause you to stumble or struggle. Our God does not do that. He does not do that. So, the question that we end up with when we read this, okay, if God's not doing it, who's doing it? Well, a lot of people would go right to Satan. Well, it's Satan trying to do this to us. But that's not what the Bible said. Now, hopefully this doesn't surprise you. You've been reading the Bible and you know this because it says, but each one is tempted That's all of us. We all get tempted. When he is drawn away by his own desires. It's your desire, my desire, that causes that temptation in my life, in your life. It's our own desire to do that. And then it says that when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. Okay, our verse today says that the temptation didn't come from God, but it came from us. So in the morning, you can look at yourself in the mirror and know where all the problems coming from. All this temptation, all the struggles, all the fights, that's coming from number one, me. Have you ever had, I know some of you have been over to the house and we'll talk about things, and all of a sudden, this Google will start talking about something. It'll start entering in on the conversation. Maybe you don't have Google, maybe you have Lexus, or you have some other form, and it is listening to us all the time. Now, it doesn't know what you're thinking, because it's not until you say it that it hears it and then responds. Sometimes Lisa and I will be sitting in our chairs and we'll be talking about something, and then all of a sudden Google back in the other room will try to answer or say, I don't understand. And I think, I don't either. What are you talking about? See, there's words for this technology that's going on, but it's not anything new. Because Satan has been using it for a long time. He doesn't know what you're thinking. But you know what? It says, each one is tempted and drawn away by his own desires. When desire has conceived. Now that word conceived, think about that. Conceived. If we go back into the Old Testament, there's a word, and it's the word yetzer. Now, the word yetzer in the Greek can be translated either imagination or conception. So, we're drawn away by our own desires and conceive. We are drawn away by our own desires and we imagine. And it comes to pass. How many have a crazy imagination? And it just kind of runs away with you sometimes. You know, something can be said, and then all of a sudden we just think, sad to say, we usually go to the negative, right? We go down the wrong road. We think the worst about a situation because that's what we've seen in the past. And so our imagination conceives the worst. And then when it happens, we go, I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. See, the thing is, Satan doesn't know what you're thinking. But the thing is when we think it and we imagine it and we have back history to prove it, we say it, and we speak it into existence, because he doesn't know what you're thinking, but he does know what we're saying. He hears what we're saying. He hears the words that are coming out of our mouth, and that's what he begins to try to shape our life with. That's why it's so important. First of all, guard your mind. Guard your mind. The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. This is in the New King James. For as he thinks in his heart, So is he. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's not that he knows our heart. He just listens to your mouth. He just listens to the words that are coming out of our mouth, and then he begins to work with those. How many have looked for a new car? Okay, a specific car. Could be Mazda, Nissan, Ford, whatever it might be. And then you've had this conversation with your spouse or the salesman or somebody. And then when you're driving down the road, you notice them all over the place. There's something going on here that I don't think we're really paying attention to. That the words of our mouth are more powerful than we really imagine. And so we get that down in here. We conceive it with our imagination. Can't you just, and that's what the salesman, can't you just see yourself driving in this car? Can't you just imagine this? Imagine, oh boy, this will be so cool. This is just for you. And they sell it. Do you know what? The devil does the same thing. When you get a report, and it's not a good report, the enemy comes in, tries to sell you on it. The next thing you know, your imagination is wandering. Oh no, what about, oh man, I don't know. And our imagination starts going and going. And pretty soon, words are coming out of our mouth that we really don't want to come to pass. Because it says in Mark 11:23, this is in the New King James also, it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, do you realize that the mountain needs to hear your voice? The mountain that you're facing, the struggle that you're facing, needs to hear you speak to it. You have to talk to your mountain. You talk to things all the time, probably. How many mutter to themselves? You're always talking and somebody will say, what'd you say? Oh, I wasn't talking to you. So we talk to things all the time. So why is this a strange thing? This isn't a strange thing. This is something that we have to do. We have to speak to the mountain. In fact, if you go farther into this, or behind this story, and you hear Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and he said that may no one ever eat fruit of you again. But before that, in the King James, it says, and Jesus answered and said. Think about that. Who said anything? The tree. Oh, trees don't talk. I didn't write the Bible. It just said that he answered and said, let no one ever eat fruit from you again. He's answering the tree. We need to speak to the mountain because it says, it goes on, it says, for I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. He will have whatever he says. Oh, that stuff never works. What'd you just say? Why doesn't it work? You just said it never works. What we say, think about, aren't we made to be like Jesus? Okay? Didn't Jesus, God spoke the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but God spoke the Word and created all of this with the Word, with words. And if we're to be like Him, Shouldn't our words be just as powerful? We need to remember this because, you know, we speak a lot of negative things into existence when they come out of our mouth. Oh, I don't mean that kind of stuff. Well, I realize you don't mean that. But it's coming out of your mouth. So we need to remember. I heard somebody talking about this and they said, the church doesn't usually struggle with the believing part. We don't usually struggle with believing that God can do the miracle, right? We don't usually struggle with God cursing the fig tree. We don't usually struggle with these things of believing that God can do it. What we struggle with is saying it. And so in this verse, he says we need to say it. We need to speak to the mountain. We need to believe it and say it. And it says then we will have whatever we say. Does that make sense? We need to speak. Yes, we need to believe, and that's important, but our believing, which is our imagination or our conception of what the Word of God has said, and then we need to speak the Word of God, come into agreement, and declare it to be so. Over in Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. This does not say that whoever has a bad thought come into their mind is a bad person. Whoever has a thought against the Word of God is a bad person, not a Christian, an unbeliever. It says, whoever lives according to the flesh and sets their mind on the things of the flesh. That's where we get into the imagination. You start worrying about something, worrying about not having enough. Worrying about not having enough money. Worrying about not being able to pay your bills. Worrying about the things, the cares of the world. We just talked about the sower and the seed and the ground and how the ground has things in the ground that keep the seed from producing. And one of them is the cares of the world. One of them is the deceitfulness of riches. And the third one is the desire for other things. When we allow our imagination, our mind, to go that direction about the cares of the world, remember it says over in Peter, it says to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. I'm not supposed to be worrying about that. I'm not supposed to be imagining what could happen in that scenario. The deceitfulness of riches. I'm not supposed to be worrying about my finances. I'm supposed to be trusting God with my finances. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will men give unto your bosom? It says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Okay, there's lots and lots of verses that talk about God's provision for us. But if we're worrying about not having enough, if we're struggling about not being able to do what we want to do, then that's our imagination conceiving things. And guess what? more than likely those words are going to come out of our mouth. I don't know if we're going to have enough money to pay all the bills this week. I don't know if we're going to have enough money to pay our tithe. I have people come up and tell me, I just don't have enough money. I can't pay my tithe this month. Okay, well, I believe you don't have enough money. I'll agree with you if you want. But I would just as soon not. But it's the words that we've conceived in our heart that are coming out of our mouth. That's why it's so important to bring every thought captive to the Word of God. And when we bring those thoughts captive, and we remind ourselves what the Word says about that thing that we are listening to, then we use that Word to renew our mind and begin to think differently. Okay, let me go to a couple scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." Strongholds are a pattern of thinking. It's a way we think. We get strongholds from our family a lot of times. Well, my family's always done it this way. We've always done this. Those become strongholds in our life. Well, that's just hereditary. Everybody in my family gets that. Those are strongholds in our heart, in our life, in our thinking. Okay? So, the weapons that we have are mighty in God to pull down those strongholds, to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So here, this is what's happening, is these strongholds, these thoughts are coming against the knowledge of God in your heart. The problem that we can run into is we don't have the knowledge of God in the heart. And so when the lie of the enemy comes and says, well, just everybody in your family's had that. Oh, they've always died by 50. All the men in your family have this. If we don't have the knowledge of God in our heart, then more than likely our mind's going to start conceiving what's been spoken. No, these aren't intentional thoughts. These are thoughts that are just being spoken, maybe even well-intended, but they're still being spoken. But what does the knowledge of God say against that? That's our part. We have to have a knowledge of God to be able to come against that lie of the enemy that says, this is what's going to happen. But God says, I shall live and not die and declare the praises of God. The Word of God says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The Word of God says, see, if we don't understand or know the Word of God, then we can't pull down the strongholds. Now, in not pulling down the strongholds, then over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You aren't going to be able to imagine the perfect will of God for your life if you don't know the Word of God. If you don't get into the Word, study the Word, and read the Word of God. There's a lot of people floundering around not knowing the Word of God. And if you ask him, well, what did God say about it? Well, I don't know. This happened, and that happened, so it must be God. Well, remember, there's somebody else listening to you, too. There's somebody else listening to the words coming out of your mouth. There's things that are taking place that you and I don't see in the natural world. It's in the spirit. How many of you have ever planted a garden? Yeah? How many of you have ever planted weeds in your garden? Now, many of us get weeds, but none of us intentionally went out and probably planted weeds in our garden. We don't go out there and take that first dandelion and pull all the seeds off and put them in different parts of the yard. We don't do that. But we can all say, yes, it does happen. Right? So how did they get in there? They just blew in there some. And you know what? We don't even see all the seeds probably floating around that take root in our garden. But one thing I have learned, and I'm not a real big gardener, but I am learning some different things, but I still can't identify weeds and plants when they just come out of the ground. And so I have to ask my wife, is that a weed? She goes, yes, all these are weeds. This is the good one. Don't pick this one. And so I'll look at that good one and I'll say, okay, well, that looks different, so I'll pull that. And I'll pull that. I'll compare them. This is good. This is not good. Pull that up. And then I get all these little weed piles and then we go throw them in the garbage. It's not too hard to pull weeds when they first start growing. But you let them take root and get established. And then you pull and you pull and you pull, and then pretty soon it breaks and gives away, and you come up with half a root. And you know there's a root down in there, and I'm going to do this again because that root's down in there. Now, it is not sin to have an evil thought go through your mind. It is not sin to have those thoughts go through your mind. What happens is those desires, those thoughts, are conceived and bring forth sin. And sin, when it is full grown, produces death. Okay? Do you get the process here? The thought, the desire necessarily isn't the bad thing. It's when we let that conceive in our heart and we imagine, what if? What if this is the only chance we get? What if what the doctor says, he's right with everybody else? What if? How many, you hear the word cancer, all right? You hear the word cancer, and there's almost an automatic fear that tries to come in. And then when we start telling people, well, this is what the doctor said, we hear all of the negative people or reports of people dying from that exact thing, instead of, how many of you know somebody that has beat it, been healed, recovered? They didn't go that way. Yeah. That's not what people tell you, do they? They tell you all the negative stuff. They tell you all the bad stuff. That's where we need to take the knowledge of God and just pick that little weed out before it ever gets going. That might be the way it is for them, but that's not the way it's going to be for me. That might be what they've dealt with. That might be their situation, but not me. The Word of God says. You can even say what Jesus said. It is written. It is written. By his stripes, I am healed. It is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is written, my God's name is the healer. And he's not going to let any of those things come upon me. You can begin to declare what is written and just simply pull that weed out and say, God, this is what I'm going to believe. Now, when we do that, Lisa and I have been having this discussion, and we were talking about this yesterday, about reoccurring attacks. Most of you have heard Lisa's testimony about depression, and she's struggled with depression in the past, but God delivered her and set her free. But that does not mean that depression doesn't try to come. But she's aware of the process. She's aware of the Word of God. She has a knowledge of the Word of God. So when the depression tries to come back in, she immediately goes to the Word of God and says, no, not today. This is what the Word says. This is what the Word says. And she will just declare the Word of God. She'll begin to speak the Word of God over that situation and not allow the enemy to come in. See, the Scripture says, submit to God, over in James, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Okay? Who is supposed to submit to God? You. Who's supposed to resist the devil? You. Is God going to submit to himself? Is God going to resist the devil for you? No, he told you to do it. God is not going to do what he told you to do. Don't sit there and go, God, I don't know why all this is happening to me. When you know the Scripture that says, resist the devil. He's not going to do what he told you to do. He wants you to do it. He wants you to speak to the mountain. Now, yes, God knows all this stuff. God knows that this is what's going to happen when they begin to speak. God knows that they're going to resist the devil and that the enemy's going to flee. He knows all that, but you and I have to do it. Just like Lisa, when she's got that attack of the enemy again. Any of you guys, you have an attack of the enemy coming against you. You get that pain. Oh, no, I hope that's not coming back. Well, shut up. Quit talking that way. If you get that pain, rebuke it. Resist it. Say, no, not today, Mr. Devil. We're not going to go down that road. Because the Word of God says, and just go down your list of scriptures that God's put in your heart. Let that imagination begin to grow. Let that imagination of what God wants to do in your life begin to grow and flourish. And as that imagination and that Word begins to grow, guess what's going to come out of your mouth? The Word of God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. With the mouth, we bring every thought captive to the Word of God. Aren't you glad? Yes, he tells us to control our thoughts. Now, I don't know about you, but you know what? I think a lot of times we don't give much thought to our thoughts. It's just a thought, right? We don't really think much about it. And we kind of sometimes just let our minds wander and not really give too much concern about it. But God told us to bring those thoughts captive. And then he tells us what to do. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever are things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything or any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things. So he tells you just what to think about. He says, if there's anything true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's anything with virtue, anything that is praiseworthy. How many did praise reports this? Did y'all do praise reports this morning? Were there any? How many wrote them down? One. Okay. Here's the challenge. This week, when you're facing a struggle, maybe it's a health issue, think about the praise reports that were given here about God healing. That's a praiseworthy report to think about. Think about those that were here. Maybe God met a financial need. And you're struggling, wondering, God, I don't know. And you got all this junk going through your mind. Resist the devil. And then think about God's supply. You know what? God paid off so-and-so's house. I know God's going to do that for me. You know what your word says? And just begin to think about the things that God has presented to us. Even, I'm not talking about something on the other side of the world. Thinking about the people right here. How God has provided. How God has ministered to us. How God gave us. Whatever it is. Think about these things. It's not a difficult thing. It's just something that we need to do. Don't be anxious. He goes on, or says before this, he says, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. God, I'm so glad that you met Dale's need. I am so glad that you brought Dale out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. He gave us his testimony a couple weeks ago. And we can just, I still can't imagine a ponytail on you, but you know what? Hey, someday I'm going to see a picture. Might be in heaven when I get that video that says, here's when Dale got saved. I can watch that video and just get it all excited. But you see, I can rejoice because of what God has done for other people. And as I do that, that builds me up. How many remember all the praise reports that we heard last week from Kai in our report? I love that. God's doing some great things. Amen. You know what? We can rejoice. Those are praiseworthy things to think about. And maybe every one of you thought about that this week. Man, God's doing some good things in the youth. Man, God's doing some awesome things with those kids and those leaders. God is just so good. We have to think about those things rather than, oh, there was another shooting. I don't know what's wrong with kids today. Oh, man, kids are so terrible. They don't listen, and we just go down the wrong road. No, back the train up and go back to your praiseworthy reports to think about. Right? God is doing some good things. Bring your thoughts captive to the Word of God, to the knowledge of God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This week, we'll close with this. This week, have you ever heard somebody talking and you just wondered, did they ever think about that before they opened their mouth? How many have heard somebody like that? Okay. I'm not going to ask you if it was you, but sometimes there's things that we hear, we just kind of wonder, did they really listen to themselves? Did they hear that? Did they think about that before they said it? Well, this week, I want you to think before you speak. Well, let's just start. I'm not setting the bar real high, Dee Dee. I'm just kind of trying to throw the bar out there, and hopefully you can get that bar. Okay, let's start with this week, all right? And think about the words that are coming out of our mouth. Think about them. Is that the way you want it? Think about it. Is that the way you want it? I heard one couple, they did this with each other, and they said, well, whenever one of us says something negative, we're contrary to the Word of God. The other one has the liberty to add to what you say with these words, and that's just the way I want it. And that's just the way I want it. Because you said it. Now, I'd never really heard how that came out when they actually said it. But I think it's important to put a guard over our mouth. Because what we speak is powerful. What we speak, what we let our mind wander to. There's many people probably right here today that are doing things today because of the way you think. Maybe the enemy's come in there and said, well, you'll never get another chance, so you better do it now. You don't know what the stock market's going to do, so you better do it. You see, there's a lot of things that we end up doing because a thought or a desire floated through and you begin to meditate on that. Think about that. And next thing you know, here we go. And you don't know if it's God. You just think so because, well, we can. Why not? Well, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to know His good and perfect will for my life. And that's what I want to follow. Not the pattern of the world. Not the pattern of the world. I want to follow the Word of God, the will of God for my life.